I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom, how are you today?
Yes, I'm great. Yes, I was in Green Bay. I was in that Regina or whatever you guys
I mean,
you had to say it again. Tommy's going to lose his mind.
Of all guys on the beat, Ryan Wood, that's who we just chose from all of this, people. Yeah. Come on. Let's get it together. It's 1 o'clock.
Ryan Wood together. From Regina, Saskatchewan.
Love it.
Yeah, if I'm only. A teenager, so I'm the last person that needed to come on this show after that gag. You just
that's awesome.
Hell, guy. I'm trying to keep myself together with corporate, you know.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Corporate well, time.
Well, obviously, we'll talk about the Josh Jacobs situation, knowing that you're not a lawyer. None of us are lawyers, so we don't know all that stuff that's going on. But tell us about, being up there in the press conference, which is normally in the auditorium, being held outside. And what was the vibe like as the media was getting together, like the half hour before the press conference? What was the vibe within the media, and what was the vibe from the Packers?
It's interesting. You try to keep it as business as usual, right? Like each day, that's how you try to go about it, the players and media as well. But I guess you can kind of call it the elephant in the room. So Matt LaFleur knew those questions would come up, which is why normally in press conferences, he'll just wait for the questions to start. But he immediately started. He just said, I'm not going to comment on this situation with Josh. I'm just going to go to the statement that was already put out by the team. So going into it, you knew this was going to be one of those type of press conferences, which is understandable, right? So, and part of our job, you still have to ask those questions just to see. And, hey, lasted for the first couple of questions, and then, we just went into football-related stuff. But, you could kind of just tell you're just Matt LaFleur. Everyone was just trying to get through that press conference, no question about it. And, again, because of the situation, it's understandable.
Is that why they had it outside, just to keep it a little more casual and like to just so he wasn't trapped in the building and having to potentially ask or answer the same question over and over again? I get it to a point, but like, is it almost just to get those questions on record so they can almost go back to them? And once things start settling out, it's like the media side, it's like, all right, we asked his questions, this is what he said that day. Now here's what we're hearing as we move forward. Is that just kind of the process there from the media side?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, in terms of why they had it in that setting. Maybe it was just because it was closer to the Don Hutson Center, so he wanted to just get the interview out of the way and keep it moving. But, obviously, he won't want to revisit all of these questions. So I think, you want to just kind of check off those boxes and, do what you have to do and keep it moving. So, but yeah, I'm not really sure about the makeup or why they chose to have that set up. So maybe it was just more convenient, but, I'm not completely sure, to be honest with you, Mason.
Well, Dom, let's talk let's talk some ball. Let's talk, how did OTAs look? Who showed up? How did the guys look running around without any pads, with shorts on? Like, is this team going to win a Super Bowl? I mean, did you find that out yesterday from how they played?
Yeah, one day of OTA practice, I know exactly what's going to happen. But I guess, that was kind of the other thing, though, if it was just after watching one practice. You're going to have a lot of guys on the side rehabbing. I think it was maybe 13, 14 guys that were rehabbing. I don't have the numbers to the side. But the only two guys that weren't present, Josh Jacobs and Michael Parsons. So I guess in that regard, you were able to see some guys moving around a little bit. And I was just curious about some of the young guys in particular, like Brandon Cisse, how does he move? They talk about him not being able to catch interceptions. And obviously you won't see it in practice and get a good feel for that. But even in drills, I was watching him. I'm like, hey, will he at least catch the ball during the drills?
Yeah, catch anything?
Yeah, so I was looking for things like that.
Is he slow?
Yes, exactly. And there was during the 11-on-11 they had, they sent him on a blitz. And if it was live action, oh boy.
He got that?
It would have been ESPN Sports Center top 10, no question. So, and that's what they said a lot about a guy like him. So, yeah, just kind of looking around, I wanted to at least see Trey Smack out there being the kicker. And obviously, on a 80-degree day on May 27th, that is not Lambeau in the fall. But still wanted to just see him kick it out there and what he looked like. So, yeah, that was the biggest thing. It's the classroom. It's conditioning right now. So, yeah, just kind of wanted to get a feel for some guys and just see him move around a little bit. That was the biggest thing I was looking for.
Yeah, Don, like, did they address, was that question asked, like, were they anticipating Micah Parsons not being here and doing rehab and showing back up? Is this, like, an expected thing? Or, yeah, was that even asked with all the Josh Jacobs stuff going on? Like, why Micah's not mm-hmm. here at these volunteer? Yeah, these are voluntary. I'm sure he has a huge workout bonus, which with how much he's making, maybe he doesn't care. But it's like, you know, he's got to come to a certain number of these things. And I just want to know, was that question asked? Like, is the expectation Micah Parsons is going to be here through some of these?
As far as will he be here for
the just in the, in the, OTAs? In the yeah. city? Yeah.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur, he just said he'll be here shortly. Okay. That was pretty much what he said. He looks great. He'll be here shortly. So, and I'm pretty sure that he's supposed to be with Jordan Love for a kickball or a softball competition.
They do have
or something.
A softball game coming up, yeah.
I think that's next week, and Mike is scheduled to be there.
Friday the 6th, yep.
Correct. So, at least for now, next week, you should expect to see Micah around. But, yeah, LaFleur said he should be here shortly, but – you know, yeah, no question about it. Because of, you know, everything with Josh, it kind of overshadowed a lot of what we would normally talk about and get into. You know, obviously they closed the locker room because of the situation, so didn't even get the chance to talk to players. So, yeah, I think yesterday was just one of those days where the Packers were just trying to survive it and advance it because of the recency of everything that happened. So, you know, that was really the big theme yesterday.
Yeah, we got Dom Yates here on the Mason Crosby Show talking about Packers OTAs. He's with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel if you want to check out all his stuff. I do want to ask, like, who are you excited to talk to that maybe you haven't had a lot of conversations with on this team? Young guys, new guys, where you just kind of want to kind of get into their brain and understand, like, what you know, what their process is and what they're looking forward to this this upcoming season.
That's a really good question. And to be honest with you, Trey Smack does come at the top of the list, not just because you're a kicker I'm talking
about. Yeah, you know, I appreciate that.
But, you know, just because of, you know, the history, there's been a lot of success in the kicking game. And over the past few years when they tried the young guys, it didn't work out. And, you know, I'm curious about how he ticks and, you know, how will he master kicking in Lambeau? Will he be able to have that low straight ball when he's out there when it's windy? So there's a lot of things like that I'm just curious about and, you know, what he's feeling about that situation. So he's the guy that's on the list. But a lot of the young guys, Denai Dennis Sutton, I think he has a chance to get on the field even as a young guy. Athletic Penn State, you know, he's talented. So I'm curious about what he's like. So there's a lot of those guys that come to mind, especially some of the new guys, just to see how they'll fit. Will they be used? Because, yeah, there's some experienced players, but, you know, there's a lot of guys, especially some young guys that have a chance to contribute.
Do you think we should expect – I know, obviously – Matthew Golden's expecting to be that, you know, one of the top three receivers, but Savion Williams was also drafted last year, and he has, it seems like, a lot of upside to him. Even LaFleur, I think, talked about that because I think he got asked the question, and you see Savion playing any running back if something happens with Josh Jacobs, and he's like, we're focused on making him a wide receiver and, you know, being an NFL wide receiver. But his name has been brought up, and I've seen clips of him from the first OTAs, like, do you think there's like a little bit of an expectation and hope that he can take a big step this year and maybe want to be one of those explosive playmakers for this team?
Absolutely. I think he's one of the more intriguing players on the roster. For me, it's Savion and Marshawn Lloyd as well, which, I mean, I'm sure he'll probably come up in a minute because these guys are so big and athletic and fast, and especially with Savion, because of the injuries, you really couldn't see him get into a rhythm and go. And then plus, of course, all of the receivers that they had last year. So I'm fascinated to see it this year when it's all his roles are more defined with obviously Watson, Reed, and Golden. And then, yeah, how will they use him because of the TCU offense and how he used to run the air raid and he could play some running back. So I'd like to see him run the ball. He even had some good moments in kick return last year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think if he can stay healthy and they can use him, I think he's just another good weapon to have.
Dom Yates joining us here on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. And you mentioned some of those wide receivers. Well, someone else who's going to be a big part of that group, of course, is Tucker Kraft. And all signs point to Kraft being ready for the regular season, which, frankly, I'm not surprised. Like, people were surprised when they were like, oh, he's on schedule. He's ahead of schedule. He's Tucker Kraft. Of course he's on schedule. Like, have you seen that guy? What do you expect to see his involvement be like during this OTA term as he's on, because of the recovery from injury, he is on a different schedule than what would normally be out there?
Yeah, I think they'll just slowly try to get him ready for training camp. You know, Matt LaFleur said the hope is to have him ready to go at the start or just very early into it. So, I mean, you see him over there on the side and he posts videos on social media and videos like he looks good. And Matt LaFleur said the same as well. He said he would love to have him out there right now. And even just watching him rehab, it seems like he's cutting and moving well. So I think around the time of the season, I think it'll be, 10 months since the injury happened. So his window, I think, will obviously be a little bit earlier than like a Michael Parsons. I wouldn't be surprised at the start of training camp or early on, they'll try to get him ready to go. But I think, they'll just slowly, week by week, try to just build him up to the starting training camp. And, I don't see any reason why that won't happen.
Well, in light of all the Josh Jacobs talk, like let's talk about that running back room a little bit, right? You got Marshawn Lloyd, you got Chris Brooks. Who else is in that room right now? And do you think if something happens, if Josh goes on the exempt list, the commissioner list, or whatever, or some of this stuff comes out, just speculating, do you think they need to add another piece, go get a veteran running back, somebody to shore up that room? Or do you think Marshawn Lloyd, Chris Brooks? I'd be hesitant if I were the Green Bay Packers to put faith in a guy that's been hurt the last few years to say we don't need to add a piece. But what's your thought on that?
Yes, obviously looking at it from that scenario, if Josh isn't available, you would have to go out and find a guy just because, you can't trust Marshawn Lloyd yet. I think he's maybe had one healthy week. I think it was his second week his rookie year against the Indianapolis Colts, where he practiced the week, played the game, and even then I think in that game he injured his ankle. So you just can't trust that right now. It sounds like whatever he did in the West Coast with learning the biomechanics that brought on from I don't know. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm also not a doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
But
none of us
are. It sounds like he figured out the biomechanics and he's done the proper workouts to be able to play and stay healthy. But you just can't trust that right now. And Chris Brooks, I mean, he's one of their scrappy guys. He's a core special teams player, but he's not a number two running back. And he's good in pass pro. But as far as what they had last year with an Emmanuel Wilson, where you can give him the ball and, hey, he might break a 20-yard carry or a 15-yard carry or maybe have a 100-rushing-yard game, you were able to get that with Emmanuel Wilson as a number two guy. You're not getting that with Chris Brooks.
That's a good call.
And then, Pierre Strong Jr., he's been around the league, but hasn't really done a whole lot. Damian Martinez and Jaden Nixon, these undrafted young guys. You just can't trust that if that's your running back room. So you would have to go out and find somebody to help, keep things going because of Matt LaFleur's offense. Needs that run game to marry the pass game. So they would need someone that they can really trust.
Well, and Dominique, you mentioned the undrafted guys at the end there too. J. Michael Sturdivant caught a lot of people's attention, it looked like, after first day of OTAs. And it's a wide receiver room that lost to Dontavian Wicks, lost to Romeo Doubs over this past offseason, rather. And the Packers always have a UDFA on that 53-man roster to start the year, right? That's been a trend now for, 10, 15 years or something like that? The Packers have done that. And he was the first name that kind of jumped out. And I'm wondering if, you know, it's obviously only one day. You can't really make a judgment on he will be there after one day. But I'm wondering if that wide receiver room looks any different with a J. Michael Sturdivant there, or did he stand out versus the rest of the guys on day one and have an opportunity to maybe make a name in a room that is still kind of trying to figure it out, it looks like, for the most part this offseason?
Yeah, it's a fair question. It's obviously tough to say stands out because they just have helmets on. They're running routes on air. But, I mean, yeah, from what you saw, you see a big guy. Hey, welcome back. Yeah. You see a big guy. You see a fast receiver. He made some nice catches. So, like, yeah, he passed the eye test. That's the biggest thing. Just like Matthew Golden last year, he passed the eye test. So, I mean, these coaches will say it. They want as many receivers as they can. They love the body. So if you're able to find a diamond in the rough with a young guy like, you know, J. Michael Sturdivant, you would feel pretty good about it. So I think, yeah, from at least day one, he was one of the guys out there that I was like, okay. You know, there's always those one few guys that kind of catch your attention during the offseason, like Nazir Stackhouse being a guy last year. I was like, oh, who's this big guy running around? And, you know, he earned a spot on the team. So, yeah, you can definitely wait and see. I'm interested in training camp when they get the pads on and see him kind of go one-on-one and battle with some of that secondary guys.
Yeah, once you have to get a release and, like, yeah, get, you know, catching traffic and do all the things. Yeah, seen it a million times. Guys just show out and they're catching everything, look amazing in OTAs, and then it's like those shots start firing and it's they're a completely different person. So, but there's also guys that, you know, will surprise you. So this is, and someone that might surprise you, and this is actually a question for Tommy. Where do you think Bo Melton fits into all of this?
Oh, dude, what is this, man? I mean, he's the backup kicker if anything goes wrong. I just saw.
Is he a receiver? Well, is he a corner?
Well, Tom,
what is he doing?
I heard they changed him back to wide receiver on the Packers website.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Back on the website, had the offensive jersey, was written on the paper as a DB. So I don't.
Whoa, gosh, it's all over. Oh, he's got to be so confused out there.
It's so infuriating. It's all offseason. It's where is Bo Melton playing and why is Malik Willis not getting re-signed? Like, that's the only headlines that we have.
And then Jordan Love running wind sprints at OTAs. Right, that's what we got.
Exactly. So did he only practice with the wide receivers yesterday then, Dom?
Yes, yeah, pretty much. So but then I'm sure the next open practice he'll play DB. So
Mike is out. We'll line him up on the edge, see what he can do. Yeah. Right. He's got quick hands. Quick hands.
Backup holder. He could be the backup holder. We could punt. Maybe he can punt. I don't know.
That emergency catcher for the Brewers.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Utility knife, Bo Melton. But joking aside, like, I do think that wide receiver room, It got better this offseason because they defined who their top three guys are. Like, I think for the first time in probably 3 years, it's like, these are three guys, and now everyone's trying out and, like, trying to make those last two to three spots in that wide receiver room. Whereas when you had Romeo Doubs and Wicks and all these guys, like, I think for LaFleur with his system and how he tries to do it, it was almost convoluted. It's like Goody did him a favor and said, like, you build an offense and these are going to be your weapons. Like, you don't need to get the ball to everybody. Bo Melton doesn't need to be the third down receiver for you. Like, go and throw it to these guys and let's make things happen.
Yes, roles are defined, and that's what you need. You need that continuity. You need guys to be able to get into a rhythm, because going back to the eye test with Matthew Golden during training camp, every day I'm like, who is this guy? Like, oh my, like the catches, the contested catches, everything he did, it was so flawless and polished. Then he gets into the games and it's like he just kind of disappears. Yeah, because, oh man, you know, you want to try to get Watson going, but then here's Doubs who is there, and then Wicks who is really good at separating. So just too many mouths to feed. And I think that's just the name of the game. So, yes, I agree with you, Mason. They, without question, upgraded, because, yes, you like to have a guy like Doubs that's consistent, but I would like the explosiveness of a Matthew Golden. yep. like he did in Chicago. You just get him a ball, just throw it out there to him, and he makes the plays and throws it for it, and he turns it into a touchdown. You don't always get that with a guy like Dobbs or consistently from Wicks. You know, outside of that Thanksgiving Day game against the Lions, like that was the Wicks game, but you didn't see that enough. So I think that if you're able to get the ball more in a guy like Matthew Golden's hands, good things will happen while making sure Watson knows he's wide receiver number one, 1A, and Jaden Reed is 1B. I think when you have those three guys ready and then you sneak in the Savion Williams of the world, I think that when those roles are defined like that, man, it can be explosive.
Yeah, I just see them lining those three up in trips on one side of the ball, and then it's just, you know, one of them is taking everybody deep, and then they're just breaking off routes underneath. I mean, it's going to be with their speed and, like, the ability that those three receivers have, though they can truly be weapons now for this team, whereas, I thought last year it was just too convoluted on who LaFleur was trying to get the ball and, like, how he was painting this picture for Jordan Love at times, and this is going to clean it up for them. And I'm excited to see if they can all stay healthy for a bulk of this season. It's been a long time, but to see maybe two receivers get over 1,000 yards this year would be pretty epic.
Well, there's
my bold prediction.
It's funny you say that, because the image that came in my head was the game in Dallas when Jordan threw the deep ball and Wicks and Golden were beside each other.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, who catches the ball here? Like, who's the ball going to? I'm like, that image right there summed up the wide receiver room.
We're all going for it. Who knows who's getting it?
Dominique Gakes joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Zaire Franklin wearing the green dot yesterday. I think some people were a little surprised that Edgerrin Cooper wasn't wearing it. What do you see? How do you see their roles and how they play off each other with the new linebacker room this year?
I think it could be a fun matchup, and I think you can mix it up. I think that's the beauty. You have a guy like Edgerrin Cooper who's versatile. I'm curious what he would look like in the middle. I am curious when you mix him up there. Obviously, you love his speed on the outside, but another reason why I don't make much into that, or even just the linebacking group as a whole, because Isaiah McDuffie was another guy that was rehabbing. So it was just kind of like a little sample size of them lining guys up. That's why I didn't even make much of the green dye with Zaire Franklin. But it does help that these are some guys that were comfortable with the Jonathan Gannon, like, you know, Javon Hargrave. There's guys that are kind of comfortable with this defensive staff that they have. So maybe that could be part of it. But I think you have those two guys together, a great tackler in Zaire Franklin with the explosiveness of an Edgerrin Cooper. I think they can play off each other well. I think that could be a good, nice little punch.
Well, Dom, my last question for you, because you brought up Jonathan Gannon, is when they lined up, were guys just kind of like standing around, or was there an actual, did it look like there was a defensive structure whenever they were doing stuff out there? Because said, I don't have a plan, I don't have a base. Like, and going to Edgerrin Cooper, do you think there's a world where when Micah Parsons is out, like, he gets creative and, you know, Edgerrin Cooper starts kind of moving down onto the line occasionally and doing all those things? Like, I don't think that would be a wild idea if you get Edgerrin Cooper a little bit more involved in.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The pass rush?
I think you should. I think the more you can use him, the better, especially when you can get him on the line like that. And just when you have a one-on-one matchup like that, I just think that he's such a dangerous combination. So, yeah, Mike on one end, you have Edgerrin Cooper on another. There's so many things that they could do and experiment. But, yes, you know, at least yesterday, Darren, some 11-on-11, they had some guys lined up, and they rotated. So, like, you even saw, like, Chris McClellan get even a little bit of run in the middle. And you saw Brandon Cisse get some in the rotation at corner. They did have guys at least lined up in their base. You know, they talk about the 3-4. You'll at least see that base for now. But then, as time goes on, they'll they'll just kind of keep tinkering with it, but they'll definitely keep it vanilla throughout training camp and preseason.
For sure.
They're like, we're not giving you guys anything. You get no insight.
They'll do all the creative stuff in the walkthroughs, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. Awesome. Y'all got anything else?
I think we got to let Dom have his day.
I know, Dom. We're going to get you. Hey, when are you going back to practice? Is it next week?
Yeah, I think, June 1st or 2nd is when they're supposed to have another one. So maybe someday next week or so we'll wait and see what happens.
It's here. I don't know what happened to your light just now, but.
Yeah, they went out on me. That's all right. Lights out. Hey, that was a fitting way to end the interview.
That is.
Exactly. Well, enjoy your time up there. We will definitely touch base throughout the offseason, and you'll keep us updated everything going up in Green Bay. Dominique Yates, thank you so much for joining on today.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.